Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM with Spry Finance. Keep living the life you love.
I have Brian Byrne with me. Normally, you'd have to go to Los Angeles to find him. Dr. Byrne, good to see you this morning.
Good morning, Marty. How are you?
I'm awfully well. Might I say you're looking awfully fresh?
I've been hiking in Letterfrack last night.
Is that what you were doing?
Yeah, we've been traversing Italy and Austria. My son was over with his orchestra in Vienna and Prague, and we followed them as fans. And then they said goodbye to the auction. We drove around Italy and Austria. And
oh, wonderful.
Got to Ireland. He's like, we have to continue.
What's your son's name?
Asa. He's playing percussion with the Oklahoma Youth Orchestra.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. So now I'm old now, following the sun. So.
Yeah, but I mean, it's astonishing to look at you, because I still think of you as about 37.
Good.
Maximum. Right. What age is he, this boy?
He is 16.
Oh, wow.
He's driving. His little EV.
That something? And is this a career, do you think?
I don't. I mean, he loves me. He's a Mozart nut.
Wonderful.
He's been listening to music in the back of the car since he was 3 years
old. He had no option,
singing along
obviously.
With Randy Newman, and no option. But
yeah.
But he's just internalised it and drove around the Dolomites with the headphones on, listened to Mozart. And
good Lord.
It's crazy.
Was it just the two of you?
No, my wife and Roxy are 11-year-old as well.
So. All right, so you're all out and about.
Yeah.
You're here, just to make the point very quickly, the Great American Songbook and Beyond. Now, this is with the National Symphony Orchestra.
That's right.
And this is happening on the 4th of July, which is Independence Day and all the rest of it. You love the Great American Songbook.
I love the Great American Songbook, old and new. I mean, a lot of the times you'll see this concert put on, and it's Gershwin, it's Cole Porter, and it's Duke Ellington. We're doing all of that.
Yeah.
We're also doing Billy Joel or Billy Joel. Listen to the Jim Gaffigan, for any of the stand-up people, listen to Jim Gaffigan's bit about Billy Joel.
Yeah, but it is Joel.
Joel, in America, the Gone Joel. And then we have a bit of Joni Mitchell, we have Bob Dylan. And these are important parts of the American songbook.
Yes.
I think as well, because, you know, those songs are 40 years old as well.
I totally agree with you, and which is why it's called the Great American Songbook and Beyond. I just think these songs should stand with those other classics.
Absolutely. And then as part of that, I when I do these arrangement concerts, I like to bring something of my own. So, you know, it makes it interesting for me to... I'll do all the arrangements I took poems from Emily Dickinson, from Robert Frost, Dylan Thomas, the famous poems that Do Not Go Gentle. And I've set them to in a jazz kind of style, in the same kind of vein as these Great American Songbook songs. So we're going to do a little premiere of that as well.
Right.
So I'm very excited.
When you get that, are you playing the piano on the night?
I conduct from the piano.
You conduct. Yeah. So you'll be doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you get these opportunities.
Yeah.
It must be very fulfilling.
Oh.
Because you're based in the States.
Yeah.
You're working with movie people and all the rest of it, but to come back to your own place.
It's the most unbelievable. It's freedom for me, and it's the only time in the year that when I'm sitting on the stage and I'm conducting, and then I sit down and I might take a solo and you have 30 strings or whatever is around you and brass, and you're in that moment, it's like bliss.
Yeah.
Because you never get that time to be in that place. You're always writing a chart or sending something here or conducting.
Right.
Or and the zen that I get from that moment, what I like to do, even with an 80-piece orchestra, is to just improvise on the spot, like where there's no chart, and I'll pick a jazz musician, Paul Booth or Ryan Quigley, and we'll just spar. We'll just play something without telling each other what we're going to do.
You mean on the stage?
Oh yeah, yeah.
All right.
And we'll have 1,000 people in the audience, and you fall off the cliff. You do or die, and that to me is fun.
And what are the rest of the people in the orchestra going?
I look over them. They're smiling, but I don't know if they're like, well, when do I come in?
There could be a nervousness,
possibly. But that I love it.
A nervousness in the air. I think that's funny. That's pretty refreshing.
Yeah.
We have Carol Sullivan, God bless her, doing "Lightly Come or Lightly Go," which is so wonderful.
She did that here in with the RT
Concert Orchestra.
And that's the most sublime voice ever.
Wasn't she wonderful?
Amazing.
She was also the best fun too.
Untouched, I think.
This is very long. We won't play all of it, but it is your work and Mr. James Joyce.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to him?
I don't know. He needed a good editor for for this.
Yes. Flavour. It's Lightly Come or Lightly Go, music by Brian Byrne and lyrics by James Joyce. That's Cara Sullivan, God bless her. It's very haunting. It's very haunting.
Well, when you have words like that and when you have a singer like that and a fantastic orchestra like the Orchid Concert Orchestra.
She was just wonderful. So listen, you're in, just a little bit about the composing world and what you're doing. You're working with many a fine composer just like yourself. It's collaborative, a lot of this. How does that work?
Well, in Hollywood, it's been going on for years. So you'll have big name composers that will get 10 projects, and not so much John Williams, but you'll get guys who sometimes don't orchestrate or don't, you know, write the old-fashioned way themselves. So they'll have two or three guys, composers that can do it, and they'll collaborate with the guy on his team. So
yeah, but are they? Are they actually? But they're writing as well, presumably.
For the most part. I mean, when I moved out to Los Angeles, one of the first jobs I did was for a big animated movie, but I could never talk about it because I ghost wrote the entire score, and it was recorded by the LSO.
Right.
Anyone wants to try and look it up.
But they pay you
a fee.
Right.
And you go do it. But it was a great experience for me, but also soulless at the end of it because your name's not on it, you know. So.
But somebody else has taken the credit for this.
Yeah. Welcome to Hollywood.
So this is common.
The good part is if the score is terrible, you don't get in trouble. You
know, I know.
They're terrible, not you.
But this would be fairly well known that this will be the case over there.
I mean, it's, you know, some of the most famous and prominent composers that are writing now are. Yeah. Every movie, you know, because sometimes the task is so big. If you have a 2.5-hour movie and the director's changing the cut a week, two days before the scoring date, you're going to need the talent to do that. And it's been, I mean, even in the, you know, 30s, 40s, when they had those massive MGM orchestras, they had guys that had to physically write the music by hand. And so stuff got changed. And of course,
as we know, when it's a film, it can be 1 minute, 32 seconds. It can be 2 minutes, 8 seconds. So it has to be...
And it has to be synced exactly to the score.
Yeah.
So there's so much goes on behind the scenes. And I spent a lot of time during COVID. It was a blessing as well because there was nobody working.
Sure.
But I was working on like, for instance, Hotel Transylvania, movie with Mark Mothersbaugh who was lying in hospital with COVID. It was before they had any of the vaccines or so it was touch and go with him. And so they asked me would I come in and work on the score, and then I worked with him on Croods 2, and then I just kept doing it. Do you know what I mean? Just working with him and writing with him. So it's fun, but I prefer when it's you and it's your own music.
But you're
own,
of course,
it's your
you
name,
do.
And you know.
But is that the trick? In other words, you get into the circle, as the great LBJ line about being inside the tent as opposed to outside.
Yeah,
it's that. So that you have to. From once you get inside the tent and you've done your time or whatever, then suddenly your name can be put forward.
There's that, and it's also you're a working musician. You know what I mean? I love doing indie movies because I get to work one on one with the director. I get to do movies that are you know, like Albert Nobbs or Secret Scripture or Jim Sharon, or where you're working with the director who has final say, and whereas these massive movies, it suits, like there's 8 producers in the room and they're telling you, you know, to do 15 versions of a cue, and it's very it's a that's a difficult task.
Yes.
So to work on indie movies or even work on jazz projects or even these live concerts where you're the person that's at the forefront.
That's the thing. And it's also about your own, your reputation, of course, but also about your own talent, and you want to bring that.
Yeah.
And therefore, you want to be the one at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I mean, I do love the, I mean, I've played on sessions in Los Angeles where I was just the piano player, you know, for David Newman on his Spirit. They saw me play it with Alan Bergman the night before. You have to come in and play on the score and come in and get roasted the next morning or conduct someone else's. I love that because versatility, it, you know, it just keeps it really interesting.
Yeah.
As opposed to being the guy in the lighthouse that has grown his hair long and, you know.
That's right. Yeah, I'm wondering.
Yes.
Whatever happened to that.
When is my next gig? Is it 10 years?
I know, yeah. I find it interesting. You just throw David Newman's name in there. The Newmans are amazing. There's so many of these people who were...
Randy. Yeah. Randy Newman. I sat beside him in the Hollywood Bowl. You were talking about Lay Your Head There during the break.
Yes.
And Glenn Close was singing it live with the Los Angeles Philharmonic, and they were doing a Randy Newman song next, so I got to sit beside Randy Newman with a picnic basket and a bottle of wine and a whole lot, and Casey was with me. And so what a hero that guy is.
I mean, he's just beyond compare.
Yeah, songwriter, ranger.
Oh, yeah. And then Thomas Newman, of course, isn't he a cousin?
He's not my cousin, but he is Randy Newman.
That's
mind you, I don't know. Yeah, unbelievable. It's like, there's a guy that has his sound. Like, look at Shawshank Redemption or look at even the animated stuff he does. And he just has this kind of bitonal thing he does where the piano might be in one key and the strings might be in another. And it's angular, but it's him. You listen to 3 seconds of Thomas Newman and you know that's him. And, of course, his father was pretty famous too.
That's right.
Alfred.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you've all these people there who come almost fully formed and you were in the middle of that.
Yeah.
So you've had to fight the fight, but yet there you are, my friend.
Yeah, no, I love it.
I can see it by you.
Yeah. But to me, you have to keep creating and you know, I do those big projects, but something like where I get to take poems or I get to write songs and
I get to play
release them myself, then that's fun for me.
Get to play with them. We have the Flintstones live. This is National Symphony Orchestra, and is this you?
Is it?
But it's have a listen. I got Rhythm is in there as well. Flintstones, I mentioned that. Is astonishing to have put it that way.
I think we just woke up all your listeners.
Well, that's for sure. Now, this is called, I better explain, this is the National Symphony Orchestra. It's your arrangement, you're on the piano.
Yeah.
Flintstones yeah. dash I Got Rhythm Live. And you were telling me a story about the Flintstones song, which we all know.
Yeah, the Flintstones theme that we all grew up with. It's based on George Gershwin and his lovely wife, Ira. That's
yes.
The famous joke. I've Got Rhythm. It's basically... they've taken
that.
The form of that song and they've written their own melody. But as did Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie yeah. and all these people, they took the Gershwin's music and they wrote new bebop tunes to it. So that's just what that is.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
That's astonishing.
Neither did George Gershwin.
Sure, yeah. But that's the fun you can have, of course, when yeah. you do what you do.
Yeah.
But that is so big with the National Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah, because we've the full orchestra playing. But that's an example of where you get to sit down. That's usually the end of the concert.
All right.
Where you've done all your work, you're about to have a pint of Guinness across
yes.
the road,
yeah.
and sit down and just improvise. Just all the Oscar Peterson you've ever listened to, or all the Bill Evans or whatever, it just yeah. comes out, and then we let the orchestra play. You know, fantastic orchestra.
Isn't that
Brian Quigley on trumpet? And
it just blows me away. It really does. And a chance that you might be playing that on the 4th of July? A chance? A possibility?
This is an encore. If we get an encore, we'll yeah. play that. If we don't, we'll play the national anthem or something.
Speaking of things of a national anthem, the Great Shebale.
Yeah.
And your work with Shebale.
Isn't she amazing?
Isn't she?
Yeah.
And the handy thing about her is, by all accounts, she's going to be a doctor not too long away.
Yeah,
which we have somebody medical with you.
She's in her doing her internship, I think, right
yes,
now.
Yes, she is. And pulled back from her amazing talent to do that. And
she's the most talented singer in that kind of genre since Sinead O'Connor, I think. She's just that she has that natural voice.
Yes.
She has the Sean Oates thing from
her dad's family.
But her dad is a trad player and a classical player, and
yeah.
she just has all of that. And she's so amazing to work with, and so quick, and you know,
yeah.
just has this instrument that you can't write for. Like you'll write four notes on a piece of paper, but when she sings it, it's you know, you need a
yeah.
if you're to transcribe that. There's a lot of history.
And how did you get together? How did it occur that you worked together?
I was working on this documentary called Ireland, narrated by Liam Neeson.
Yes.
A big IMAX thing, and it was during COVID actually, or right before, and I had heard the thing she'd done with Patrick Cassidy,
which
yes. I thought was beautiful, and that's where I heard her voice. And actually I used to live in Rackarn many moons ago. I had a house in Rackarn,
yeah, yeah.
So I knew the Cassidys kind of. I just reached out to them and we did it remotely. Steve Cooney recorded her up in, it was either Donegal or Sligo,
right.
and she sent me the vocal of usually I'll send myself singing and it sounds terrible, and then what
they
I got back,
back
just
right.
moved me so much. She's just unbelievable.
Yeah. There is a power in her voice because she is this very
yeah.
svelte girl,
right.
and yet this power.
And when you hear it, yeah.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And then the lyric Around the Heron was written by my wife, Casey, who's an American, who had never spoken a bit of Irish in her life, but she's very quick and got into the old...
Is she a linguist? She must be.
No, she's just very talented. She's a poet.
And
she's
listening.
And then we got Shebale to just
wow.
do a once over, and it was good.
Yeah.
A bit of Google Translate.
Oh, I know it is.
Well.
I know it is.
Yeah.
But it is our own Na Héireann, which
yes.
is a song of Ireland.
That's right.
We're going to have a little taste. Will you stay with me for a few minutes?
Because
I want to. Yeah. We have a small matter of our pal.
Lyric FM Traffic and Travel, sponsored by Citroën. Let the revolution begin with the all new Citroën C3.
Now, Sinead, how are things in your world?
All good in the hood.
You're all good in the hood, don't you?
I'm good.
Now, did you find out any more about Kerry? No?
I didn't,
Never
no.
Actually, we'll do it again.
But I did find out how you might be able to say one thing in a certain accent and it sounds like something else in another accent.
Very good. What do you want to save it at the end of the traffic?
Well, yeah, I will. I'll save it until then. There's an inbound queue in Dublin on Dorset Street from Binsbridge to the North Frederick Street Junction. It's slow also on the Merrion Road inbound from before the Shrewsbury Road Junction to Balls Bridge. Slow heading in on the Stillorgan Road and Donnybrook Road, and there's a queue in the direction of the city on the Naas Road from the Walkinstown Avenue Junction to the Davitt Road Junction. There are delays in Limerick on the Corbally Road inbound between Athlunkard Bridge and the Mill Road Junction, and on Athlunkard Street in the direction of the city from the Corbally Roundabout to the Island Road Junction. In Galway there's a slowdown on Well Park Road southbound between the Connolly Avenue Junction and the Old Dublin Dublin Road. And finally, traffic on Boherne Drive eastbound is heavy approaching the Tuam Road. And that's the latest traffic and travel news.
Now, good for you. So what's this word now that you've come up with?
So you say space ghetto.
Space ghetto.
In an American accent.
In an American accent.
And it sounds like you're saying Spice Girl in a Scottish accent.
Space ghetto. Space ghetto in an American accent makes it sound like you're saying Spice Girl in a Scottish accent. Space ghetto.
That's sorted for the day. We'll be practicing.
That's very good. Brian Byrne is with me, the great composer and arranger, and I suspect he'll be using that in the future when he goes back and be Minecrafting or something. You might get a pound.
Uh-huh.
You get a dollar.
Oh, a dollar.
Even
nice.
Better. I know you're not with me tomorrow because you just don't want to be.
But I'll be back on Monday for more fun and games.
I won't sleep a wink until you come back.
Because of Iron Maiden.
Take care. Good
luck.
Bye. Now, this is, I want to give you a taster. This is Aran the Heron, Song of Ireland, Brian Byrne, and Casey Jones with the great Shebael. Song of Ireland, Brian Byrne with me, and that's the great Shebael. Can I just mention the fact you have on the night, you have Zara McFarlane and Jamie Parker.
Yeah,
singing.
Two extraordinary singers. Jamie is was the Harry Potter in the play. He won some big award for that. And Zara McFarlane is an up-and-coming presence on the jazz scene in the UK. Really fantastic vocal.
And when you get to work with people like that and they get to work with you, very exciting because you're playing the music you really want to play. And you're able to do it with the Great American Songbook, but also with, as we said, Beyond, which is Joni Mitchell and people of that ilk, Billy Joel, all these. When you get that opportunity to bring that to a stage, when you do that, do you then say to yourself, I'd like to bring this back to America, maybe we could do something else with that? Or can you do something like that?
I've done that in the past. I've with the Oklahoma City Philharmonic or Fort Worth Orchestra in Texas.
Yes.
I've done similar concerts that I've done here, I've brought them over there. You write these arrangements, they're with you for life.
But this is what I was going to say.
You can change out the singer in America and they will bring a different kind of thing.
Of course.
To it. Like Jamie Parker's an actor, he'll bring these poems, the Dylan Thomas poem that are done and the Robert Frost, he's going to sing those and he'll bring a kind of gravitas to that, if you know, that maybe somebody else wouldn't, because he studies the words.
And that's right, exactly, and intonation and all of that. This is happening on the 4th of July. It's 7:30 start. We have to say that all the time because people say, if you didn't tell me that. And they're now called the National Symphony Orchestra Ireland.
That's right.
That's their new title. Can I just say again, lay your head down, with Glenn Close, the two of you wrote, I think, an extraordinary piece of music.
Well, thank you very much.
It is an extraordinary. I mean, obviously, it was Sinead, God bless her.
Yeah.
But it's extraordinary, and it touched so many hearts.
Yeah, I get messages all the time, such and such is passed, or some.
Yes.
We can't find the sheet music. Can we sing it at the funeral? I will send them the music straight away. It's just one of those, you know, it's a kind of cathartic song, I think.
It surely is. As the fellow said, if you did nothing else, and that was it, that is...
Well, it was very good to me. It opened a lot of doors for me, and that just Glenn Close and Sinead O'Connor and that whole time and thing was... And the RTÉ Concert Orchestra.
Of course, of course.
So I'm very fond of it.
Listen, God bless you, and thank you for coming in. I'm so interested to hear about your son as he goes through his goes through this new phase in his life, and he's only young, but already he has a direction, which... And also... Also, let's not fool ourselves. He also, because of you, will find that you're going to say, I can send you this way, or suggest not that way, but maybe... And that's wonderful for him. He's very fortunate in that.
I can guide him, but I'll never make him do anything. But he just gets up in the morning, Mozart nut, he'll play the drums, he'll play the percussion, and he'll sit at the piano and read through, you know.
Just
has this love of music that sometimes I look and go, I remember that.
Sure.
You know, where you want to listen to music for 8 hours a day.
And is he... you're saying he's a Mozart nut, but is he as open as you are to other music?
Oh, yeah. He plays jazz drums and he loves good music.
Yeah.
He loves, song. Toy Story 3 and 2, he would sing those scores when he was in the back of the car, 2 years old.
Isn't that interesting?
I think it is... If you have it in your DNA, but if it's triggered, you know, if your folks or your brother or your sister are musical, and I think they're... If that's in the family, I think that... That triggers something, and
but the great thing is you would spot it a mile off, and obviously,
and I love it. It's
of course
you have someone in the family you can you can bat that stuff.
That's right, and look after you and your dotage. I think is the phrase I'm searching for here, which is also
a fortune and hopefully a nice home.
Something by the sea. Yeah. Something. We were chatting the other day about all these American shows around the moment, and Nicole Kidman seems to be in every one of them.
Yeah.
And it's always a big house by the ocean.
Well, she's got big hair, and I think her hair looks really well on the coast.
Well, exactly. Weather blown. Yeah. Liz, what's next for you when you finish this? When you go back to the States?
I'm right in the middle of recording a new album.
Okay.
So this, and it's inspired by this concert. So that I said I'd write these 6 songs, Silence to Song.
Yes.
For the National Symphony Orchestra. It's something that I'm bringing, but then it's inspired me to do a whole album. And literally, I'm in the middle of recording with Veronica Swift, Kurt Elling, Curtis Stigers, Kate McGarry, Tierney Sutton, an amazing big band. And I'll record the strings when I go back home. I have a big string section that I'm going to do. So that's my focus right now for the next month, and I'm so excited about it because it's my project and
good.
It's something that I'm...
That sounds wonderful. Yeah. Curtis Stiger sat where you sat some time ago when he was here and played the guitar and sang for us.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
He is incredible. He's
like
got a voice.
His voice is... Yeah. You know? And he was in first thing in the morning. I was astounded.
Yeah. I might have been sitting behind him. I don't know. Or maybe he was in by himself. But no, he's unbelievable. He's got a... Yeah. I remember seeing him doing I Wonder Why.
That's it.
In the National, wherever the boxing arena was when I was a kid.
Oh, the National Stadium.
And he had the big long hair. And I remember thinking, this guy's a rock star.
Yeah.
And now I get to call him my friend. I brought him down to Navan to Mick Marmion's pub.
No
one of the
way.
Times he was home.
And, isn't that lovely?
But he can sing jazz, he can sing soul. He's soul. He's got that just...
He has, yeah.
..sound, and he's singing on this. He's just unbelievable.
I'm trying to remember what he... When he sat with us...
Yeah.
..and it's he did I Wonder Why...
Yeah.
..Ah, This Life, Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
..the TV thingy.
He wrote the theme song for that.
And he was sitting here with a guitar and he just sang it.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He is. He's a character as well.
Is he?
Yeah. Loves Ireland. He's a good friend of Paul Brady. In fact, we did with the RTÉ Concert Orchestra a version of The Island. I did a special arrangement of it, and he just nailed it. But right at the end of the song, here in the National Concert, someone came down. They weren't happy with the lyric. Paul was in the audience, but Kurt's version of that was just hauntingly beautiful.
Really,
and the song. I mean, the Island.
And the song is incredible. You know, was Paul thrilled? He was. I'm sure.
Loved it. Loved it.
You see, Paul. That's the other thing too. I hate to finish up, but we have to. The other thing too about Paul. Paul is a great lover of the great American songs as well. We must remember. You know, and he worked with like Jimmy Buffett and stuff.
Yeah.
So
I mean, for him to come from where he did with Glenn and that kind of stuff, and then you can hear it in his writing that the influence of the American kind of sound. And
No question. But he's again, one of our musical geniuses. Absolutely. He truly is. Keep the faith, Brian. Thank you so much for coming in. I enjoyed the chat.
Thanks for having me.
Not at all. It's Friday, 4th of July, 7:30, National Symphony Orchestra, Ireland. It's Brian, who basically will be doing everything like an octopus, composing, arranging, piano and conducting. Zara McFarlane and Jamie Parker.